Carlton E. Morris was born to George and Ora Morris in Jennings, Louisiana, on June 4, 1901. In 1906, his family moved to a fruit ranch in Talent, Oregon, and when Morris was 16, his family relocated to Sacramento, California. After graduating from high school in Sacramento, Morris spent a few years at the University of California, Berkeley, between 1919 and 1922. Morris, though enjoying his drama classes, was dissatisfied with college life, and after moving back home to Sacramento, began his journalism career with the newspaper, the Sacramento Union, where Mark Twain contributed articles, followed by stints with the San Francisco Illustrated Daily Herald, Seattle Times, Vancouver Columbian, and the Portland Oregonian before returning to San Francisco in 1928. While working at the San Francisco Bulletin, he met Patricia DeBall, who became his first wife on September the 23rd, 1928. In 1929, Morse lost his job when the Bulletin was absorbed into the San Francisco Call. Although offered a position with the Seattle Times, he declined it, thinking that working in radio would be more satisfying and exciting. During the late 1920s, he had taken a keen interest in the evolving radio industry and even tried out writing a few scripts, which he never showed to anyone until the day of his job interview with NBC. 2 weeks before the 1929 stock market crash, he was invited to join the production staff of NBC at their San Francisco affiliate, KGO. Morse never went back to journalism. At NBC, Morse started off reworking and polishing House of Myths, then penning his own scripts for this radio series. He went on to write such shows as Chinatown Tales, Illustrated Tales, Split Second Tales, and Musical Miniatures. Morse quickly gained a name for himself with several Blood and Thunder radio serials he wrote for NBC Mystery Serial. These shows had such evocative titles as Dead Men Prowl, City of the Dead, Captain Post, Crime Specialist, Game Called Murder, Case of the One-Eyed Parrot, Killed in Action, among others as luridly and evocatively titled. Also popular with the public was a series Morse wrote based on the case files of the San Francisco Police Department, Barbary Coast Nights. But it wasn't until his popular multi-generational soap opera, One Man's Family, that Morse really gained a name for himself in radio drama. One Man's Family debuted on Friday, April 29, 1932, using many of the same young actors whom Morse knew from his drama days at Berkeley, and who later became involved in his earlier NBC mystery serial stories. The show featured the sprawling Barber family of Seacliff, California. Initial listener response to One Man's Family was remarkable, and the program quickly became one of the most listened to programs on the coast, and Morse one of the most respected figures in radio. For years, there was sustained and increasing public popularity with One Man's Family, especially when the series was broadcast over the entire NBC network and not just the West Coast affiliates. Various premiums were produced. Despite this success, Morse began tiring of the saccharine nature of One Man's Family. At the same time, he and his One Man's Family cast were a victim of their own success. Locked into a long-term contract with his players for this series, this contract allowed little room for salary increases. A well-timed call from the J.W. Thompson Company would provide them with some respite from this situation. Very pleased with the success of One Man's Family for their client, Standard Brands, marketing officials of the J.W. Thompson Advertising Company contracted Morse to create a new radio show where they asked him to revisit the blood and thunder genre of his earlier mystery serials. Using many of the same actors and radio people used in One Man's Family, Morse answered with, "I love a mystery." Carlton E. Morse tried his hand at other radio shows, such as the comedy His Honor the Barber, but the show was not a success. A year-long series, Adventures by Morse, was also produced by Morse in 1945-46. The show closely resembled I Love a Mystery, substituting Captain Bart Friday for the tough, no-nonsense Jack Packard, and replacing Doc Long with Skip Turner as his Texas-talking second banana. Many of the scripts for Adventures by Morse were in fact dusted off NBC mystery serial scripts, adapted and brought somewhat up to date, but strikingly similar in theme and plot to his Blood and Thunder shows of nearly two decades before. As a sort of prequel to the Mutual Broadcasting System's I Love a Mystery series, Morse also wrote I Love Adventure. This 13-episode series, it only lasted a single season in the summer of 1948, actually features the characters of Jack, Doc, and Reggie in several half-hour, self-contained adventures. A second run of I Love a Mystery was successfully launched on the Mutual Network on October 3, 1949. Using the same scripts as the original NBC-CBS run, only lightly dusted off, the show ran wild and woolly again for another 3 years, using a new crew of actors. I Love a Mystery itself eventually left the air for a second time at the end of 1952. An effort for a third I Love a Mystery run was unsuccessful, though the audition tapes for the first 3 episodes of this are now circulating among collectors. The Family Skeleton, another soap opera in the One Man's Family vein, appeared for 1 season on CBS from 1953 through 1954. One Man's Family itself continued running until the end of the radio era in 1959. With the end of this magical age of radio drama and the retirement of many of his radio and television shows, Morse himself retired to Seven Stones. This was the name given to the mansion he built with his radio wealth, a home hidden in the woods outside of San Francisco in Woodside, California. It was while Morse was living here that OTR historian Jim Harmon became acquainted with Morse, and the two developed a long-lasting friendship. Harmon was in large part responsible for sustaining interest in I Love a Mystery by convincing Morse to release reel-to-reel tapes of several of his shows to fans of the show hungry to revisit their younger experiences. Mr. Harmon wrote about his initial meeting with Morse and his thoughts on I Love a Mystery in the first chapter of his classic 1967 book, The Great Radio Heroes, which has been recently reprinted in a new second edition. Despite failing health in his later years, which forced him to later give up his beloved home at Seven Stones, Morse wrote 3 novels under his Seven Stones Press imprint: Killer at the Wheel, A Lavish of Sin, and a single I Love a Mystery-based novel, Stuff the Lady's Hatbox, the latter published in 1988. Morse also formed a company, Morselco, to try selling some of his older radio scripts. Tragedy also struck Morse when his first wife Patricia died in 1984. In his later years, Morse granted extensive interviews and attended many old-time radio conventions held in his honor. There's even a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame for his work in radio, located in front of 6445 Hollywood Boulevard in his honor. Astonished to discover that his shows were popular even after all these years, he established as a legacy his Morse Family Trust and copyrighted many of his I Love a Mystery and One Man's Family scripts and recordings to protect his intellectual property. Carlton E. Morse died on May 24, 1993 in Sacramento, California, survived by his second wife, Millie Morse. His memorial service was held in Los Angeles, California, where several members of the One Man's Family cast were in attendance. For the Old Time Radio Researchers, I'm Fred Bertelson, your announcer.